Whence Moses, the man of God, dissuading from all idolatry, beautifully exclaims, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." 4. Now therefore be wise, O man, according to that blessed psalmist David, lay hold on instruction, lest the Lord be angry, and ye perish from the way of righteousness, when his wrath has quickly kindled. Blessed are all they who put their trust in him. 5. But already the Lord, in his surpassing pity, has inspired the song of salvation, sounding like a battle march. Sons of men, how long will ye be slow of heart? Why do you love vanity, and seek after a lie? 6. What, then, is the vanity, and what the lie? The holy apostle of the Lord, reprehending the Greeks, will show thee, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and changed the glory of God into the likeness of corruptible man, and worshipped, and served the creature more than the Creator. 7. And verily this is the God, who, in the beginning made the heaven and the earth. 8. But you do not know God, and worship the heaven, and how shall you escape the guilt of impiety? Here again the prophet speaking, the sun shall suffer eclipse, and the heaven be darkened, but the Almighty shall shine forever, while the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and the heavens stretched out and drawn together shall be rolled as a parchment skin, for these are the prophetic expressions, and the earth shall flee away from before the face of the Lord. 9. Chap. 9. That those grievously sinned despise or neglect God's gracious calling. I could adduce 10,000 scriptures, of which not one tittle shall pass away, 10, without being fulfilled, for the mouth of the Lord the Holy Spirit hath spoken these things. Do not any longer, he says, my son, despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. 11. O surpassing love for man! Not as a teacher speaking to his pupils, not as a master to his domestics, nor as God to men, but as a father, does the Lord gently admonish his children. Thus Moses confesses that he was filled with quaking and terror, 12, while he listened to God speaking concerning the word. And art not thou afraid, as thou hearest the voice of the divine word? Art not thou distressed? Do you not fear, and hasten to learn of him, that is, to salvation, dreading wrath, loving grace, eagerly striving after the hope set before us, that you may shun the judgment threatened? Come, come, O my young people, for if you become not again as little children, and be born again, as saith the Scripture, you shall not receive the truly existent Father, nor shall you ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. For in what way is a stranger permitted to enter? Well, as I take it, then, when he is enrolled and made a citizen, and receives one to stand to him in the relation of father, then will he be occupied with the father as concerns, then shall he be deemed worthy to be made his heir, then will he share the kingdom of the father with his own dear son. For this is the firstborn church, composed of many good children. These are the firstborn enrolled in heaven, who hold high festival with so many myriads of angels. We, too, are firstborn sons, who are reared by God, who are the genuine friends of the firstborn, who first of all other men attained to the knowledge of God, who first were wrenched away from our sins, first severed from the devil. And now the more benevolent God is, the more impious men are, for he desires us from slaves to become sons, while they scorn to become sons. Oh, the prodigious folly of being ashamed of the Lord! He often freedom, you flee into bondage. He bestows salvation, you sink down into destruction. He confers everlasting life, you wait for punishment, and pray for the fire which the Lord has prepared for the devil and his angels. 13. Wherefore the blessed apostle says, I testify in the Lord, that ye walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and concupiscence. 14. After the accusation of such a witness, and his invocation of God, what else remains for the unbelieving than judgment and condemnation? And the Lord, with ceaseless assiduity, exhorts, terrifies, urges, rouses, admonishes. He awakes from the sleep of darkness, and raises up those who have wandered in error. Awake, he says, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. 1 Christ, the Son of the Resurrection, he who was born before the morning star, 2, and with his beams bestows life. Let no one then despise the word, lest he unwittingly despise himself. For the Scripture somewhere says, today, If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers proved me by trial. 3. And what was the trim? If you wish to learn, the Holy Spirit will show you and saw my works, he says, 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in heart, and have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. 4. Look to the threatening, look to the exhortation, look to the punishment. Why, then, should we any longer change grace into wrath, and not receive the word with open ears, and entertain God, as a guest in pure spirits? For great is the grace of his promise, if today we hear his voice. 5. And that today is lengthened out day by day, while it is called today, and to the end the today and the instruction continue, and then the true today, the never-ending day of God, extends over eternity. Let us then ever obey the voice of the divine word. For the today signifies eternity, and day is the symbol of light, and the light of men is the word, by whom we behold God. Rightly, then, to those that have believed and obey, grace will superabound, while with those that have been unbelieving, and are in heart, and have not known the Lord's ways, which John commanded to make straight, and to prepare, God is incensed, and those he threatens. And, indeed, the old Hebrew wanderers in the desert received typically the end of the threatening, for they are said not to have entered into the rest, because of unbelief, till, having followed the successor of Moses, they learned by experience, though late, that they could not be saved otherwise than by believing on Jesus. But the Lord, in his love to man, invites all men to the knowledge of the truth, and for the sin sends the Paraclete. What, then, is this knowledge? Godliness. And godliness, according to Paul, is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. 6. If eternal salvation were to be sold, for how much, O man, would you propose to purchase it? Were one to estimate the value of the whole of Pactolus, the fabulous river of gold, he would not have reckoned up a price equivalent to salvation. Do not, however, faint. You may, if you choose, purchase salvation, though of inestimable value, with your own resources, love, and living faith, which will be reckoned a suitable price. This recompense God cheerfully accepts, for we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. 7. But the rest, round whom the world's growths have fastened, as the rocks on the seashore are covered over with seaweed, make light of immortality, like the old man of Ithaca, eagerly longing to see, not the truth, not the fatherland in heaven, not the true light, but smoke, but godliness, that makes man as far as can be, like God, designates God, as our suitable teacher, who alone can worthily assimilate man to God. This teaching the apostle knows as truly divine. Thou, O Timothy, he says, from a child hast known the holy letters, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith that is in Christ Jesus. 8. For truly holy are those letters that sanctify and deify, and the writings or volumes that consist of those holy letters and syllables, the same apostle consequently calls, inspired of God, being profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. 9. No one will be so impressed by the exhortations of any of the saints, as he is by the words of the Lord himself, the lover of man. For this, and nothing but this, is his only work, the salvation of man. Therefore he himself, urging them unto salvation, cries, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 10. Those men that draw near through fear, he converts. Thus also the apostle of the Lord, beseeching the Macedonians, becomes the interpreter of the divine voice, when he says, the Lord is at hand, take care, that ye be not apprehended empty. 11. But are ye so devoid of fear, or rather of faith, as not to believe the Lord himself, or Paul, who in Christ's stead thus entreats, taste, and see that Christ is God? 12. Faith will lead you, in experience will teach you, scripture will train you, for it says, come hither, thou children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Then, as to those who already believe, it briefly asks, what man is he that desireth life, that loveth to see good days? 13. It is we shall say we, who are the devotees of good, we, who eagerly desire good things. Hear, then, ye who are far off, hear ye, who are near. The word has not been hidden from any, light is common, it shines on all men, no one is a Cimmerian in respect to the word. Let us haste to salvation, to regeneration. Let us, who are many, haste, that we may be brought together into one love, according to the union of the essential unity. And let us, by being made good, conformably follow after union, seeking after the good monad. The union of many in one, issuing in the production of divine harmony out of a medley of sounds and division, becomes one symphony following one choir leader and teacher, one, the Word, reaching and resting in the same truth and crying, Abba, Father. This, the true utterance of His children, God accepts with gracious welcome the first fruits He receives from them. Chap. 10. Answer T-O-T-H-E Objection O-F-T-H-E Heathen, T-H-A-T-I-T-W-A-S-N-O-T Right T-O. Abandon T-H-E customs O-F their fathers. But you say it is not creditable to subvert the customs handed down to us from our fathers, and why, then, do we not still use our first nourishment, milk, to which our nurses accustomed us from the time of our birth? Why do we increase or diminish our patrimony, and not keep it exactly the same as we got it? Why do we not still vomit on our parents' breasts, or still do the things for which, when infants, and nursed by our mothers, we were laughed at, but have corrected ourselves, even if we did not fall in with good instructors? Then, if excesses in the indulgence of the passions, though pernicious and dangerous, yet are accompanied with pleasure, why do we not in the conduct of life abandon that usage which is evil, and provocative of passion, and godless? Even should our fathers feel hurt, and betake ourselves to the truth, and seek Him, who is truly our Father, rejecting custom as a deleterious drug? For of all that I have undertaken to do, the task I now attempt is the noblest, viz. To demonstrate to you how inimical this insane and most wretched custom is to godliness. For a boon so great, the greatest ever given by God, to the human race, would never have been hated and rejected, had not you been carried away by custom. And then shut your ears against us, and just as unmanageable horses throw off the reins, and take the bit between their teeth, you rush away from the arguments addressed to you, in your eager desire to shake yourselves clear of us, who seek to guide the chariot of your life, and, impelled by your folly, dash towards the precipices of destruction, and regard the holy word of God as an accursed thing, the reward of your choice. Therefore, as described by Sophocles, follows: the mind a blank, useless ears, vain thoughts. And you know not that, of all truths, this is the truest, that the good and godly shall obtain the good reward, inasmuch as they held goodness in high esteem, while, on the other hand, the wicked shall receive meet punishment, for the author of evil, torment has been prepared. And so the prophet Zechariah threatens him, He that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee, lo, is not this a brand plucked from the fire? 2. What an infatuated desire, then, for voluntary death is this, rooted in men's minds! Why do they flee to this fatal brand, with which they shall be burned, when it is within their power to live nobly according to God, and not according to custom? For God bestows life freely, but evil custom, after our departure from this world, brings on the sinner unavailing remorse with punishment. By sad experience, even a child knows how superstition destroys and piety saves. Let any of you look at those who minister before the idols, their hair matted, their persons disgraced with filthy and tattered clothes, who never come near a bath, and let their nails grow to an extraordinary length, like wild beasts, many of them castrated, who show the idol's temples to be in reality graves or prisons. These appear to meet to bewail the gods, not to worship them, and their sufferings to be worthy of pity rather than piety. And seeing these things, do you still continue blind? And will you not look up to the ruler of all, the Lord of the universe? And will you not escape from those dungeons, and flee to the mercy that comes down from heaven? For God, of His great love to man, comes to the help of man, as the mother bird flies to one of her young that has fallen out of the nest. And if a serpent open its mouth to swallow the little bird, the mother flutters round, uttering cries of grief over her dear progeny. 3. And God the Father seeks His creature, and heals his transgression, and pursues the serpent, and recovers the young one, and incites it to fly up to the nest. Thus dogs that have strayed, track out their master by the scent, and horses that have thrown their riders, come to their master's call, if he but whistle. The ox, it is said, knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel hath not known me. For what, then, of the Lord? He remembers not our ill desert, He still pities, He still urges us to repentance. And I would ask you, if it does not appear to you monstrous, that you men, who are God's handiwork, who have received your souls from him, and belong wholly to God, should be subject to another master, and, what is more, serve the tyrant instead of the rightful king, the evil one instead of the good. For, in the name of truth, what man in his senses turns his back on good, and attaches himself to evil? What, then, is he who flees from God, to consort with demons? Who, that may become a son of God, prefers to be in bondage, or who is he that pursues his way to Erebus, when it is in his power, to be a citizen of heaven, and to cultivate paradise, and walk about in heaven, and partake of the tree of life and immortality, and, cleaving his way through the sky in the track of the luminous cloud, behold, like Elias, the rain of salvation. Some there are, who, like worms wallowing in marshes and mud in the streams of pleasure, feed on foolish and useless delights, swinish men. For swine, it is said, like mud better than pure water, and, according to Democritus, dote upon dirt. Let us not then be enslaved or become swinish, but, as true children of the light, let us raise our eyes, and look on the light, lest the Lord discover us to be spurious, as the sun does the eagles. Let us therefore repent, and pass from ignorance to knowledge, from foolishness to wisdom, from licentiousness to self-restraint, from unrighteousness to righteousness, from godlessness to God. It is an enterprise of noble daring to take our way to God, and the enjoyment of many other good things is within the reach of the lovers of righteousness, who pursue eternal life, specially those things to which God himself alludes, speaking by Isaiah, there is an inheritance for those who serve the Lord. 1. Noble and desirable is this inheritance, not gold, not silver, not raiment, which the moth assails, and things of earth which are assailed by the robber, whose eye is dazzled by worldly wealth, but it is that treasure of salvation, to which we must hasten, by becoming lovers of the word. Thence praiseworthy works descend to us, and fly with us on the wing of truth. This is the inheritance with which the eternal covenant of God invests us, conveying the everlasting gift of grace, and thus our loving Father, the true Father, ceases not to exhort, admonish, train, love us. For he ceases not to save, and advises the best course, become righteous, says the Lord. 2. Ye that thirst, come to the water, and ye that have no money, come, and buy, and drink without money. 3. He invites to the lair, to salvation, to illumination, all, but crying out and saying, the land I give thee, and the sea, my child, and heaven too, and all the living creatures in them I freely bestow upon thee. Only, thou child, thirst for thy Father God shall be revealed to thee without price. The truth is not made merchandise of. He gives thee all creatures that fly and swim, and those on the land. These the Father has created for thy thankful enjoyment. What the bastard, who is a son of perdition, foredoomed to be the slave of mammon, has to buy for money, he assigns to thee as thine own, even to his own son, who loves the Father, for whose sake he still works, and to whom alone he promises, saying, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for it is not destined to corruption. For the whole land is mine, and it is thine too, if thou receive God. Wherefore the scripture, as might have been expected, proclaims good news to those who have believed. The saints of the Lord shall inherit the glory of God and his power. What glory, tell me, O blessed one, which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man? For, and they shall be glad in the kingdom of their Lord, for ever and ever. Amen. You have, omen, the divine promise of grace you have heard. On the other hand, the threatening of punishment by these the Lord saves, teaching men by fear and grace. Why do we delay? Why do we not shun the punishment? Why do we not receive the free gift? Why, in fine, do we not choose the better part, God instead of the evil one, and prefer wisdom to idolatry, and take life in exchange for death? Behold, he says, I have set before your face death and life. 5. The Lord tries you, that you may choose life. He counsels you on, as a father, to obey God. For if ye hear me, he says, and be willing, ye shall eat the good things of the land. 6. This is the grace attached to obedience. But if ye obey me not, and are unwilling, the sword and fire shall devour you. 7. This is the penalty of disobedience. For the mouth of the Lord, the law of truth, the word of the Lord hath spoken these things. Are you willing that I should be your good counselor? Well, do you hear? I, if possible, will explain. You ought, omen, when reflecting on the good, to have brought forward a witness inborn and competent, viz., faith, which of itself, and from its own resources, chooses at once what is best, instead of occupying yourselves in painfully inquiring whether what is best ought to be followed. For, allow me to tell you, you ought to doubt whether you should get drunk, but you get drunk before reflecting on the matter, and whether you ought to do an injury, but you do injury with the utmost readiness. The only thing you make the subject of question is, whether God should be worshipped, and whether this wise God and Christ should be followed, and this you think requires deliberation and doubt, and know not what is worthy of God. Have faith in us, as you have in drunkenness, that you may be wise. Have faith in us, as you have in injury, that you may live. But if, acknowledging the conspicuous trustworthiness of the virtues, you wish to trust them, come, and I will set before you in abundance materials of persuasion respecting the word. But do for your ancestral customs, by which your minds are preoccupied, divert you from the truth. Do you now hear what is the real state of the case as follows? And let not any shame of this name preoccupy you, which does great harm to men, and seduces them from salvation. Let us then openly strip for the contest, and nobly strive in the arena of truth, the Holy Word being the judge, and the Lord of the universe prescribing the contest, for 'tis no insignificant prize, the guerdon of immortality which is set before us. Pay no more regard, then, if you are rated by some of the lower rabble, who lead the dance of impiety, and are driven onto the same pit by their folly and insanity, makers of idols and worshippers of stones. For these have their Ctesiphon, Alexander of Macedon, for example, whom they canonized as the 13th god, whose pretensions Babylon confuted, which showed him dead. I admire, therefore, the divine sophist, Theocritus was his name. After Alexander's death, Theocritus, holding up the vain opinions entertained by men respecting the gods, to ridicule before his fellow citizens, said, "Men, keep up your hearts as long as you see the gods dying sooner than men, and, truly, he who worships gods that are visible, and the promiscuous rabble of creatures begotten and born, and attaches himself to them, is a far more wretched object, and the very demons. For God is by no manner of means unrighteous, as the demons are, but in the very highest degree righteous, and nothing more resembles God than one of us when he becomes righteous in the highest possible degree. Go into the way, the whole tribe of you handicraftsmen, who worship Jove's fierce-eyed daughter, 1, the working goddess, with fans duly placed, fools that ye are, fashioners of stones, and worshippers of them, let your Phidias, and Polycletus, and your Praxiteles and Apelles too, come, and all that are engaged in mechanical arts, who, being themselves of the earth, are workers of the earth. For then, says a certain prophecy, the affairs here turn out unfortunately, when men put their trust in images, let the meaner artists, too, for I will not stop calling, come, none of these ever made a breathing image, or out of earth molded soft flesh, who liquefied the marrow, or who solidified the bones, who stretched the nerves, who distended the veins, who poured the blood into them, or who spread the skin, whoever could have made eyes capable of seeing, who breathed spirit into the lifeless form, who bestowed righteousness, who promised immortality. The maker of the universe alone, the great artist and father, has formed us, such a living image as man is. But your Olympian Jove, the image of an image, greatly out of harmony with truth, is the senseless work of Attikans. For the image of God is his word, the genuine son of mind, the divine word, the archetypal light of light, and the image of the word is the true man, the mind which is in man, who is therefore said to have been made in the image and likeness of God, to assimilated to the divine word, in the affections of the soul, and therefore rational but effigies sculptured in human form, the earthly image of that part of man which is visible and earthborn, are but a perishable impress of humanity, manifestly wide of the truth. That life, then, which is occupied with so much earnestness about matter, seems to me to be nothing else than full of insanity, and custom, which has made you taste bondage and unreasonable care, is fostered by vain opinion and ignorance, which has proved to the human race the cause of unlawful rites, and delusive shows, and also of deadly plagues and hateful images, has, by devising many shapes of demons, stamped on all that follow it the mark of long-continued death. Receive, then, the water of the word. Wash, be polluted ones, purify yourselves from custom, by sprinkling yourselves with the drops of truth. 3. The pure must ascend to heaven. Thou art a man. If we look to that which is most common to thee and others seek him who created thee, thou art a son. If we look to that which is thy peculiar prerogative, acknowledge thy father. But do you still continue in your sins, engrossed with pleasures? To whom shall the Lord say, yours is the kingdom of heaven, yours, whose choice is set on God? if you will yours, if you will only believe and comply with the brief terms of the announcement which the Ninevites, having obeyed, instead of the destruction they looked for, obtained a signal deliverance. How, then, may I ascend to heaven? Is it said, the Lord is the way, a straight way, but leading from heaven, straight in truth, but leading back to heaven, straight, despised on earth, broad, adored in heaven? Then, he that is uninstructed in the word, has ignorance as the excuse of his error. But as for him into whose ears instruction has been poured, and who deliberately maintains his incredulity in his soul, the wiser he appears to be, the more harm will his understanding do him, for he has his own sense as his accuser, for not having chosen the best part. For man has been otherwise constituted by nature, so as to have fellowship with God. As, then, we do not compel the horse to plow, or the bull to hunt, but set each animal to that for which it is by nature fitted, so, placing our finger on what is man's peculiar and distinguishing characteristic above other creatures, we invite him born, as he is, for the contemplation of heaven, and being, as he is, a truly heavenly plant, to the knowledge of God, counseling him to furnish himself with what is his sufficient provision for eternity, namely piety. Practice husbandry, we say, if you are a husbandman, but while you till your fields, know God. Sail the sea. You who are devoted to navigation, yet call the whilst on the heavenly pilot. 1. Has knowledge taken hold of you while engaged in military service? Listen to the commander, who orders what is right. As those, then, who have been overpowered with sleep and drunkenness, do ye awake, and using your eyes a little, consider what mean those stones which you worship, and the expenditure you frivolously lavish on matter. Your means and substance you squander on ignorance, even as you throw away your lives to death, having found no other end of your vain hope, and this, not only unable to pity yourselves, you are incapable even of yielding to the persuasions of those who commiserate you and slave, as you are to evil custom, and, clinging to it voluntarily till your last breath, you are hurried to destruction, because light has come into the world, and men have loved the darkness rather than the light, too, while they could sweep away those hindrances to salvation, pride, and wealth, and fear, repeating this poetic utterance: whither do I bear these abundant riches, and whither do I myself wander? 3. If you wish, then, to cast aside these vain fantasies, and bid adieu to evil custom, say to vain opinion, lying dreams, farewell you were than nothing. For what, think you, omen, is the Hermes of Typha, and that of Andocides, and that of Amytis? Is it not evident to all that they are stones, as is the veritable Hermes himself, as the halo is not a god, and as the iris is not a god, but are states of the atmosphere, and of the clouds, and as, likewise, a day is not a god, nor a year, nor time, which is made up of these, so neither is sun nor moon, by which each of those mentioned above is determined, who, then, in his right senses, can imagine correction, and punishment, and justice, and retribution, to be gods? For neither the Furies, nor the Fates, nor destiny are gods, since neither government, nor glory, nor wealth are gods, which last as Plutus, painters represent as blind. But if you deify modesty, and love, and Venus, let these be followed by infamy, and passion, and envy, and intercourse, therefore sleep and death cannot reasonably any more be regarded as twin deities, being merely changes which take place naturally in living creatures. No more will you with propriety call fortune, or destiny, or the fates goddesses, and if strife and battle be not gods, no more are Ares and Enyo. Still further, if the lightnings, and thunderbolts, and rains are not gods, how can fire and water be gods? How can shooting stars and comets, which are produced by atmospheric changes? He who calls fortune a god, let him also so call action. If, then, none of these, nor of the images formed by human hands, and destitute of feeling, is held to be a god, while a providence exercised about us is evidently the result of a divine power, for it remains only to acknowledge this, that he alone who is truly God, only truly is, and subsists. But those who are insensible to this are like men who have drunk mandrake, or some other drug. May God grant that you may at length awake from this slumber, and know God, and that neither gold, nor stone, nor tree, nor action, nor suffering, nor disease, nor fear, may appear in your eyes as a god. For there are, in sooth, on the fruitful earth thrice 10,000 demons, not immortal, nor indeed mortal, for they are not endowed with sensation, so as to render them capable of death, but only things of wood and stone, that hold despotic sway over men, insulting and violating life through the force of custom. The earth is the Lord's, it is said, and the fullness thereof. 5. Then why darest thou, while luxuriating in the bounties of the Lord, to ignore the sovereign ruler? Leave my earth, the Lord will say to thee, touch not the water which I bestow, partake not of the fruits of the earth produced by my husbandry, give to God recompense for your sustenance, acknowledge thy master, thou art God's creature, what belongs to him, how can it with justice be alienated?